Thanks, Tosin. Well, I'm really excited by our verse for the year. I hope you love the artwork. You should have a little card with it on back and front. My thanks to Barney and Emma for doing that. Really wonderful. We praise God for your gifts. And do take these, take lots of them, put them in your Bible, put them on your fridge, use them to pray and just to focus us for this coming year. Let me pray as we start the service, the sermon now. Let me pray. Praise you, Lord God, for this beautiful record of Jesus and his heart and his encouragement to us. We pray that you would be at work by your Spirit, opening our eyes to this truth that is so glorious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder, friends, how your vision is. Mine is gradually getting worse. I've just got this new pair of prescription glasses. I'm kind of losing the plot a bit because they're kind of very focal. I'm not quite sure where to look. I'm feeling a little bit sick this morning. But actually, as I live in a massive house, I need lots of glasses. And I keep losing them all over the place. I at last counted 15 pairs, and there's times when I've lost all 15. It's a worry. But actually, I do need these glasses to see. But actually, what I really need is a better spiritual sight. So how is your vision this morning? Not your 2020 vision or whatever you've got, but actually, how is your vision spiritually? As you look around the world, as you look around this town, as you look around your family and the nations of the world, what do you see? How is your spiritual sight? Mine, I confess, can be blurry and hazy. I get so consumed with me and myself that I just don't see as I should. My spiritual vision is often sinfully self-centered. You see, what I need, what we all need as a church this year, if we're believers, is to see things like Jesus sees them. That is the sight, that is the vision, the perspective that I need, that we need to be praying for this year. And that's what our passage and the verse of the year is going to help us with. In this passage, we read of the mighty, powerful King Jesus. And he's been doing some amazing miracles. His power is awesome. There's no one like Jesus. And we read a summary of what he's been doing in verse 35. Have a look. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. That verse describes God's kingdom breaking in, bringing transformation to the towns and villages that Jesus visits. It's such awesome power. He's restoring broken, hurting lives. He's teaching the good news of the gospel. He's healing people and setting them free. That's what Jesus loves to do. He loves to overturn the havoc that sin and Satan causes and to bring new life and energizing hope. The glorious, mighty power of King Jesus. Friends, how wonderful he is. He is powerful, but also we see he is filled full of compassion. That's how Jesus feels when he sees crowds of people. He's filled with compassion. He's deeply moved. He's brimful and overflowing with it forth. And that's verse 36. Filled with compassion. And as he sees the huge needs, we hear the potential of these crowds in verse 37. Two things we're going to look at this morning. Things that I need to see, that we need to see. Two things that we need to be shaped by as a church, as we press into this new year together. We need to see things as Jesus sees. So we need to pray this. Let's pray, Jesus, give me your eyes of compassion for the lost. Give me your eyes of compassion for the lost. That's verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. What do you see when you're queuing up on a Monday morning at the post office, or people standing on the train station, or the kids in the playground, you drop them off, or as they flood into the many supermarkets of Crowborough, or in your classroom, or in your lecture hall, or your street, or your club? What do you see? Well, often we just see people, don't we? We see the same people, or some people we know, or new people. We see lots and lots of people. But what does Jesus see? when he sees lots of people, he sees a very deep need. He's already been dealing with people's sicknesses in verse 35 and preaching the gospel. But as he sees this crowd, he sees through their outward appearance to their deep inner need. Maybe you've never realized that you have that need. That Jesus sees it in you this morning if you're not a Christian yet. How does he describe this deeper need? It's two words in verse 36. He describes people as harassed and helpless. Harassed and helpless. That kind of inward state of turmoil that we all know at times. Wondering what to do, what to say, where to go, how to live. Where do I turn for that sort of help? He sees their lostness. And he's moved by it. He's deeply moved with compassion by the inner state of the human heart and mind. He's concerned for people's spiritual states. And what does Jesus say is the root cause of that sense of being lost, of helplessness? Well, he says, verse 36, that people are like sheep without a shepherd. Friends, sheep need a lot of looking after, don't they? They need the shepherd to care for them, to keep them safe, to be well fed and watered. And we're bound to see in the next couple of months pictures of sheep that stood still when it snowed, and they become like this big igloo of snow, don't they? And you see the shepherd digging them out. It's a great moment as the sheep are released, because they're so stupid. They stand still. They need to be dug out. They need to be fed and watered and protected. Sheep need care and leadership and help. They need a shepherd. And that's what Jesus is saying. When he sees people, he's saying, you need someone to follow. You need the good shepherd to follow. You need the Lord. People are harassed and helpless because they are like sheep without a shepherd. That's what Jesus says here. You see, none of us were created to exist on our own without the loving leadership of the mighty God, without the care and concern of the good shepherd, a leader, a king, greater than us, more powerful than us, more compassionate than us. As Jesus says this, will we see that Jesus is the shepherd that we all need, that these crowds need? He's the shepherd king who through his life and his death in our place on the cross and his resurrection has made the way for anyone, whoever we are, whatever we've done, to come to him and be found and welcomed home and be part of his family forever. John in his gospel records Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Praise God that the shepherd loved us so much, he gave his life for us to pay for our sins, so we could be forgiven and be friends with God and know his shepherdly care. It is amazing, isn't it? Jesus is filled with compassion for people who need his loving shepherdly care. I guess my favorite psalm is Psalm 23. And if you're a Christian today, you know the shepherd. You can say through Christ the huge privilege that the Lord is my shepherd, that he leads me. He refreshes my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death even, I don't need to fear evil, for you are with me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But if you're a sheep without the shepherd, that's not true for you. You can't say that. You can't say that Jesus is my shepherd until you've trusted him as that. You can't say that he leads me because he won't. You can't say that he refreshes me because he doesn't. If he's not your shepherd, he's not with you through the darkest valley and in death. There's lots to fear. There's not the hope of eternal life. Don't we need to pray, Lord Jesus, give me your eyes of compassion for people who don't know Jesus as shepherd? That'll change how you pray, my friends. That'll change how you live, how you care. That'll remove a lack of concern and apathy and coldness as we see people for what they are, dear, much-loved people, harassed and helpless, who need the shepherd. Don't we need to pray, Lord Jesus, give me compassion for the lost? Give me eyes to see people as you see them. Help me by your Spirit to follow your beautiful example and to be more like Jesus, filled with compassion. And what is the second thing that Jesus sees that we need to pray to see and to have? Well, the second thing is this. We need to pray, Lord Jesus, give me your eyes to see the plentiful harvest. And here we get to our verse for the year. The context is the compassion of Jesus that overflows in our verse for the year. As he sees the crowds of people, Jesus sees a huge potential harvest of people who could be a part of his family, his flock, his forever kingdom. You see, when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, we're praying for many things, but one thing is that people might come to know the King of the kingdom, be a part of his family. And Jesus says, the harvest is abundant. It is plentiful. There are lots and lots of boys and girls and men and women who need to hear the gospel so they can respond and be rescued and be a part of Jesus' family and fold and be welcomed home forever. The harvest is plentiful. In your family, in your street, in your college, in your town, in your school, all around the world, the harvest is plentiful. But often we don't see it like that, do we? Once again, we're focused on ourselves, our needs. We don't see the huge numbers of people who need the power, the compassion, the salvation of Jesus, the freedom from guilt, the eternal hope that only he can bring. I wonder, have you ever had that experience? You know, in a huge crowd of people, you get a glimpse of the huge need. So at a town event in Crowe, we've had two massive ones this term, haven't we? We had, last term, we had the fireworks night, we had the Christmas cracker night with people in the town as the lights were turned on. So many people, I don't know. So many people who never come near a church. So many people who Jesus loves and has compassion for. Such a harvest in our town. When I was at university, I did drama, and I was in a very third-rate play that we took on tour around Czechoslovakia. It really was awful. But we had a great time. We drove around town after town full of high-rise buildings with so many people to inflict our play upon them. And they paid to see it, which was a miracle. But actually, I saw all these people in this former communist country, high-rise buildings, so many people, such a big harvest field. And I was overwhelmed, thinking, how can they be reached for Jesus? I remember going on mission to southern Spain and doing street preaching and evangelism, which is terrifying, to countless numbers of people who did not know Jesus. A huge harvest field. And it moved me to tears as I thought of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem for the people who had not known him and rejected him. Friends, it's such a harvest, such a need. A bountiful abundance of dear people who need Jesus. And the only way they will meet him is to hear of him. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. On the train, in the playground, in my street, in my supermarket, around the world, in my family. But Jesus says, there's an issue. There are not enough workers to share the gospel message. The workers are few. That's the reality Jesus shares. Abundant harvest, but the workers are few. Not enough people willing and ready to go and speak and share and live the gospel. Well, what to do? What do we do, Lord? Well, Jesus tells us. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask God to send out workers into this harvest field. Pray. Ask the Lord to send out more workers. Are we praying that? I need to pray it more. Raise up more workers to reach the harvest through this church. Lord, raise up more workers to go into our workplaces and schools and hospitals and clubs and societies to reach the harvest there. Lord, raise up and send out more workers to reach this nation, to many unreached people. Lord, raise up more workers to reach the nations of the world and to reach the unreached in every country. Lord of the harvest, send out laborers, send out workers. You know, I need to pray, Lord, give me eyes to see this harvest. And I need to pray for people to be sent out to work in the harvest field. And do you know what often will happen as we pray that? That we will be the answer to that prayer. We are the workers. We are his people. We are his hands and his feet and his voice. I wonder, are we praying that? You know, we give thanks that as we announced various staff moving on last term, the Lord is providing new workers here. A new minister starting today at St. Richard's, Mark Rapley. Praise God for that. And more leaders in the pipeline that will announce. Praise God for that. But there's huge need in this church for workers. Our kids' work has never been so big. We haven't got enough workers who'll commit to teaching them. Or maybe we'd be praying that the Lord would maybe prepare our hearts to go elsewhere, to go overseas or to another place where they need the gospel. This is a wonderfully exciting prayer to pray, but don't be surprised if God's going to answer it through you. Our verse of the year comes from the powerful and compassionate Christ, who tells us to lift our gaze, lift your eyes to see people and the world as he sees them. A plentiful harvest with not enough workers, but we are called to pray for workers and be willing to be the answer to our prayers. You know, we're facing wonderful opportunities this year as a church. On Thursday, Hope Explored course starts. People are coming. Pray for more. Bring some. On the 17th, we're going to be refurbishing the back of church. We're going to be shutting that space off for 12 weeks and reopening as Hope Cafe, a ministry space for outreach. We'll be launching our new house vision at the APCM. We'll be thinking about world mission leading up through towards Easter. And we've got a great speaker coming for our world mission weekend, a guy called Simon Gillibrand, who will blow your socks off as he brings the challenges of world mission to us as a church. We'll be continuing with our Passion for Life events, our Burns Night, our Jonah's Well Night, Curry Nights, Arts on the Grill, all opportunities to speak of Jesus. CERT, Easter opportunities, and culminating in a celebration of the Queen's 70 years in May half term with a big tea party. Now, why do we do all this? Why do we bother? Why do we bother? We do it because of this powerful, compassionate Jesus. He tells us that the harvest is plentiful. And we want to be workers in the harvest. We want to reach it here and abroad. Let us pray that the Lord would move amongst us powerfully this year to have his vision for people and this town and this world until he comes again. And pray. Let's pray. Let's take this home and pray for workers and see that we are often the answer to our prayers. Let me pray for us now. Lord God, we rejoice in your goodness, your compassion, your love. Thank you for this amazing passage this morning. Would you use it, Lord, to grow us in our prayer life, change our vision, lift us out of lethargy or apathy to see people as you see them with a heart of love and compassion. Would this year be a year of great harvest and great fruit and sending out for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hey, over the next 5 weeks, we are starting a new little series in the morning services we'd love you to come back for. We're going to think about, particularly for the next 5 weeks, the harvest field of where God has put you right now. God has put us all in different places in a harvest field. So we're going to think about your front lines for the next 5 weeks and how God wants to use you as you are, where you are, to reach out. We're going to watch a little video to prepare us for that series.
Over a month, around 6% of the UK gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference.
But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us, scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make all the difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.